BBQ. Good morning, everybody. This is Jim Mazzetti, and welcome to The American Dream. We are here every Tuesday from 10 to 11. This show is just kind of remind everybody, this is a show about entrepreneurs specifically of Orange County, and kind of a show to kind of inspire people that are sitting on the fence, that are thinking about getting into the world of being their own boss and taking charge of their own life. This was kind of the show, we set this up to kind of inspire you or to make you think twice and say, no, I'm pretty happy doing what I'm doing. But for the most part, we think this is a great opportunity. This is the greatest country in the world, and I'm very lucky to each and every day to be able to handle it. I'm just going to remind again that this is a show sponsored by Miles Wealth Management, which I am a proud member of the firm. It was started almost 40 years ago by my father, and still continues to be the CEO every day. Lucky to have him, and with no kind of further ado, it's a family business, and I've been very lucky to be and blessed to be work with him each and every day. And that kind of brings me, kind of segues me right into our guest today, which is Al Buckby III, who's been kind enough to join me this morning and or today, I should say, and take the time out of his busy schedule and kind of give us a background. And this family, kind of I'll tee this up a little bit. This family's been around Warwick, for how many years now?
Yeah. First of all, good morning, Jim.
Hey, good morning.
Thank you for having us. Thank you for having me on, and Belleville Farms as well. And it's a great pleasure to be on WTBQ again.
Yeah, it's a great story all by itself. WTBQ.
I've grown up with this station. I've been on it as a political person. I've been on it as an agricultural person. And now you finally
as
an entrepreneur.
Go check it off all the lists there.
So
it is Belleville Farms.
Yeah. This is our farm. It's evolved into some other things over the years as well, but it goes back into our family is into the 1700s.
Is that right?
Wow. And then my niece and nephew today are currently they're coming up on 11 generations now.
Wow, that's amazing.
For this area, so it's it's evolved from pre-Revolutionary War. It was actually soldiers who the Wisners were mercenaries from Switzerland who've fought for the king in the French and Indian War, got a land grant that started the property. Then the next generation decided that they wanted to have freedom and revolution, so we had revolutionary patriots on the next generation. So as it goes through, and then all the way up to today. But for a long time, we have been involved in agriculture for in this area. And today, we have about 500 acres of land and a couple of different umbrellas. We have what's called the Belleville Farms, which is the cow side, which is producing roughly about 1 million pounds of milk a year. We also have some pumpkin business in the fall. We also sell rye and other grains to local distilleries around. We also sell hay to various horse farms and other cow farms. And then about 10 or 12 years ago, my sister and brother-in-law began what's called our Belleville Farms Creamery, which is an ice cream making facility, which fits very well into the cow business.
It certainly does. And I think it was voted one of the top.
Yeah, that was a very big surprise. And, we were all very happy. Trip.com.
TripAdvisor?
TripAdvisor. Did do an online polling of about the creameries in the country, and we were voted number two. So it's a huge
honor.
It's a great pleasure. And we also on that we have some great people that work there, including I think we still are the biggest employer of Warwick High School kids.
Is that right?
In the area. So yeah, my sister probably has close to 20-25 kids come through there every year,
that's an amazing amount of people.
So it's all the product is made here local people working there. We sell local, and that's part of our mission.
Well, I've known your family and known yourself.
We've been obviously a couple of generations. Our family's been intertwined.
So very much so. I mean, since I can remember, the Belleville Farms has been there. Your father.
Yep.
And your mother, great people, and just a fantastic family, which, in itself is what kind of being an entrepreneur and kind of the values and the core and the ethics that I think every entrepreneur should have. And it comes from, frankly, good, strong family values.
Yeah.
Which obviously you've taken and continue to run today.
Yeah, I think importantly, you know, you recognize where you want to be. You know, your home, for me, this is my home. I've lived here, minus my school and education, I've lived here my entire life. And, you know, this is where I want to end up.
When
it finishes up as well. So in that sense, you want to make the investment in the community. So it's not just about making money. It's also about making the entire, you know, making a product that everybody can enjoy.
Sustainable.
Yeah. Yeah. One plays into another, you know, and you know, that is somewhat unique to Warwick. I think we have a lot of that. You know, we have a lot of agriculture. We have a lot of village craft type of work. We have, you know, the little B&Bs, all of these types of businesses in here. And I think, you know, many of them are multi-generation and all working for a better life for the people of Warwick, people of Orange County.
I think a better quality life is kind of what you're heading at there.
Yeah.
And I think it's, I mean, you've seen it, I've seen it. Specifically, it's all evolved, though. And some out of necessity and some just because it's been lucky enough to ride the coattails of other businesses that have put the time in. But it's all come around and over the last decade or so, I think. It's really evolved anyway.
Yeah, it seems like things move quicker. But still, the fundamentals are still the same as they would have been, you know, 100 years ago. Developing, you know, a high-quality product, whether you're, you know, today trading stocks on a computer or whether you're doing it, you know, on a slide rule from the 1960s.
Right.
You know, you're still calculating. You know, you still got a P&E ratio that's still, you know, the old timers, you know, 15 times earnings, you're probably in pretty good shape, right?
Yeah,
you know, I mean, that regardless kind of fundamentals.
Regardless of the business.
Right.
Regardless of the business.
You know, and so the products change, but the fundamentals are all still the same.
It is. But listen, let's talk about a little bit before we have to take a quick break here. But, you know, Al, you, like you said, we kind of bring the summary. You grew up here, you went to school here for a little bit, and then you moved away.
Yep.
Went to Washington Jefferson?
Yeah, Washington Jefferson College. It's a small liberal arts college out a little south of Pittsburgh.
Interesting.
And yeah, it was at the time a pretty conservative school, and I was a pre-law student, political science, and went through that program. But we actually also had an entrepreneurial studies course. You know, it was a part of the business school in there. And, you know, you go through... Yeah, you know, the basics is there. So it was a good four years. It was also a school where I could play some athletics in, so football and also track and field.
Right.
Were a big part of my life in those days. And
but, you know, it's funny, we talk about this a lot, though, is that how much of that schooling that you took prepared you for what you're doing today?
Not much. You know, and I actually do. I spend a lot of time talking about that with younger people who are thinking about going to school. And you know, if I had to do it again, you know, I throw it out there and say, you know, maybe I should have worked a little bit more. Maybe my 19th, 20th, 21, 22, 23 years, I should have been out trying to find out what I love.
That's a good
trying
point.
To find out. And then, because if I had done that, I would have found out quickly that I really did love being in agriculture and small farming and, you know, dairy farming. And then I could have gone on to, say, a Penn State agricultural school.
Right.
You know, and gotten more specific details rather than knowing, you know, constitutional law. Which today, you know, constitutional law doesn't have anything to do with the Constitution anymore. But, you know.
Which is a whole other topic, which we'll take in 2 minutes.
But that's, you know, schooling, so.
Yeah, you're so right. I mean, we and my father talk about it on a regular basis. And I, you know, for all those young entrepreneurs or young students and going off, thinking about going, or actually getting ready to go to college here, as my oldest daughter's graduating this year. And
wow.
We've talked about this quite a bit. And it, you know, it's a big deal. I mean, these schools today are, and I'm not going to roll the clock back too much for you and I, but I'll tell you, when young people are looking out there, looking at the colleges, I mean, you're looking at $30,000, $50,000, $60,000 a year institutions here. So you better have a clue what you're doing.
Well,
or at least have an idea here. It's a pretty expensive vacation, as my father constantly reminds me of when I went to school.
Yeah, you know, whether we're quite ready for it at that age, I don't know. Maybe this is a new generation who can take on that stuff. But you can also look at it, too, if you had the, you know, 50 grand a year for 4 years, 200,000 invested.
It's a hell of a start in life, isn't
you've
it?
You got half your house paid off,
yeah.
You know?
Well, that's some of the issues we're facing today, and we'll hit upon that in a little bit. But, you know, you're looking, you know, these families today are being asked to pay for a house in 5 years, 4 years, for that matter. You know, when we took 30-year mortgages out to pay for $200,000 homes, and now they're being asked to pay for it in 4 years. It's just crazy.
Wow.
That said, but, you know, the neat thing is we talk about this all the time, is we meet, I get to interview entrepreneurs all the time, and it seems to be a common theme that, we get a lot out of the experience, I think, of high school and the experience of college and the core basics of matter of fact, I think the core basis of just learning how to manage your own time.
True.
Right? But I think none of that, or very little of that, ever prepares us for what we're really going to do in life. And that's regardless of whether you go to work for somebody or you actually, especially if you become an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
It's a big difference, to say the least.
Yeah.
But, you know, you did it. You did it. And before we actually get into the next piece here, we're going to take a quick break. And we'll be right back. And again, this is Jim Mazzetti. This is American Dream. We're here every Tuesday from 10 to 11. We'll be right back after this.
If you're a small business owner, no one has to tell you that your business is one of the largest assets you possess. But have you ever taken the time to know what it's worth? Business valuation is not only critical for growing your company, but ultimately its eventual sale. At Miles Wealth Management, they can help you determine the value of your business through a simple yet comprehensive process that doesn't take months and costs thousands of dollars. For many years, Miles has provided you with insurance and financial services. Now they can help you ensure the growth and stability of your business for years to come. Call them today at 845-651-3070 for a free consultation, or visit them online at mileswealthmanagement.com. They're located on North Main Street in the Village of Florida. Miles Wealth Management, LLC, is an independent SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Miles Wealth Management and its investment advisory services are offered independent of Signature Investors Incorporated and any subsidiaries or affiliates.
Hola, this is Elon Gonzalez, host of El Sabor. Tune in Sunday at 8 p.m., los domingos a las 8 de la noche para música latina, playing pop and traditional Latin music on WTBQ, donde escuchan la mejor música, playing the best music.
WTBQ.
All right, welcome back. This is Jim Mazzetti with the American Dream. I am here with Al Buckby III from Belleville Farms, and we're having a great discussion here, and just kind of let everybody know I've known this family as long as I can remember, and when I came to this Warwick, which was, I think I was four, great family, great business work ethic, and I think, you know, we're going to kind of hit on that here in a second, but you know, very lucky and very privileged to have Al Buckby with me today. And again, thanks for being here.
Again, Jim, thank you for having me. Good morning again.
So, you know, one of the things we're trying to cover in this show is a lot of is the entrepreneurs that are thinking about getting into business of their own, whatever it may be, whatever idea, whatever process or something else they know they can bring to the market and do better than the next guy. We love that. I embrace that each and every day. It's what we get like. Get so lucky to work with business owners like that every day. But one of the things I always like to try and bring to it is some people's different perspective on how maybe you would have prepared differently for what you're doing today that maybe you can pass on to some of our listeners there.
Okay. I think that's a great thing to tackle as it relates to, you know, starting something that I used to think that you just started something because you had a passion about it. And as I've gotten older, the more I think about it is, I think you need to have the vision to look at the area where you are, look at the particular environmental situations, look at your location, and look at the people who are around you, and decide what are they looking for. You know, take a look at the businesses in an area that are successful, and it doesn't take long to figure out who they are because they stay in business.
Right.
And
those names always pop up time and time again.
Yep. And they have a good product and people come back. And if you can identify those and then start to look at, you know, what else would be necessary in that chain of supply? So, you know, in our case, you know, dairy farming, I mean, we did not, you know, I have to say, you know, I came out of school in 1996. We did not think about making ice cream in those days.
Right.
It was straight ahead, you know, production agriculture, and then things started to pop up, you know, things that we realized that the community was looking for. At first, it was a vegetable stand. It was growing vegetables and then selling them fresh on the side of our farm.
Right.
And from there, we started to realize, wait a minute, there's a demand for that, but that's not exactly our passion. We grow corn, but we're better at growing corn for cows than we are for growing corn for people.
Right.
You know, it was not our strength. So then we started to think, okay, well, we do a pretty good job with milk. What other product could we sell? And up came a few choices. Cheese, you know, we could bottle milk, and then the ice cream popped up there. And we had people interested in, you know, my brother-in-law immediately took to it and went off to Penn State. You know, continuing education, did about a year out there in what's called the professional ice cream schooling. And
there's actually such a school for
that? Yeah, Penn State's world famous for it as well. they are a big ice cream production. All the big, you know, companies seem to have.
That's amazing.
They send people there to learn the business. You know, you not only learn how to make the ice cream, but you learn, you know, what the equipment is, what your ratios are, you know,
the true business of it.
Yeah, whole nine yards. So that's where the flavor actually, you know, the concept, you know, the actual construction of the milk, of the ice cream comes from that type of a program. And then, you know, here's another lucky thing that we had go on here with a great company by the name of Star K White down in Rockland County, which is a multi-generational family who just happens, the principal owner lives in Warwick. Lives down the road from us and stopped in one day and said, you know, I supply ice cream flavors and I used to work with Ben and Jerry for ice cream flavors. And I still do that today. And, you know, would you like to learn more about what I can offer? And there, all of a sudden, we had.
There's a synergy.
You know, world quality food flavoring coming in for the ice cream, just like that. And that's, you know, just these opportunities. But you had to have kind of the vision of where you want to go to.
Right.
And then have the, you know, again, the flexibility and to look at what options come to you at any given time, and then to have the follow through and the willingness to
the tenacity to make it happen too.
Yeah, and the everyday hard work and you know, suit up and show up.
You're right. Put your boots on, show up, make it happen every day. And it you know, it's funny. You know, a lot of times I get approached and the first words out with a lot of people's like, oh man, they're so successful. God, they just stepped in it, didn't they? You know, they're so lucky. What a you know, they anything they touch goes to gold. It's such an easy thing for them. And I'll tell you, folks, there's not one entrepreneur I have ever met. There's no overnight successes. Period. End of story. I mean, nobody can appreciate the mental anguish of a true entrepreneur who has to figure this out and make it happen each and every day.
And the day. You know, the time that leads up to it. Usually, when you're catching the entrepreneur at the successful part, you're not factoring in the 10 or 15 years before that.
The lead up, yeah.
Where they weren't successful, so you didn't even know about them. You're just, you immediately think that, oh, they had the idea, and they walked right into it, and all of a sudden they're worth it.
Right, they found the support, they found the backing, you know, they had the money behind them. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there was a great entrepreneurial book. I was just thinking about this, you know, from college, and we read it. It was written by Napoleon Hill.
Think and Grow Rich. Think and Grow, yeah, it's a great book.
And there's a story in there about Thomas Edison and a person who comes to work for him, had nothing. And here was Thomas Edison, a successful person, and he works as, you know, he decides that Thomas Edison is who he wants to do, and he wants to work there, and he ends up, I think, you know, when it's all said and done, is worth more than Edison for doing all the sales work. And
yeah, well, because he actually took the product.
Yeah, and actually found a way to sell it.
And found a way to actually monetize it and grow it. And listen, and you know, that kind of leads us into another thing. I mean, there's one thing to, you know, have this great vision, have, you know, as your family did, had all the cows, had all the you know, the backing and been around for years, but you still had to figure out how to sell your product. Yeah. And that wasn't, I mean, those things are not just walk in the park. They don't just happen by themselves. And how did you guys end up going about that process?
Well, I, you know, again, you, in the beginning, you're very cautious on the sense of how can, you know, will this sell? What will we sell? I think keeping, you know, again, not being overextended, I think is a critical part of this.
The process, especially today.
Keeping your debt as low as you possibly can to get that product, you know, going. I think, you know, Dunkin' Donuts is a good example. I mean, they put up a store within about a week.
Yeah.
And they are often flying, you know, as opposed to taking months to construct your store.
Overhead is a killer of most small businesses.
Getting going. And I think once you start to get that, also having the ability to be flexible. You know, as I said before, you know, we started with vegetables. We kind of figured vegetables would sell with ice cream as well, and that didn't work at all. We were not counting on that. And also the business, you know, we thought it was all going to be kind of scoop, selling ice cream by the scoop. And now today, I think, I averaged over 120 quart sales a day up there at the creamery, which is bigger than the scoops. So it's one of these things where you got to be available. You got to be ready for a change in the market, what they're looking for, and, you know, understanding what your buyers are. And
I think that's a key piece. I mean, and I think the listeners are listening out there. Flexibility is, you know, means a million different things to a million different people. But when we're talking about business specifically, flexibility, you have to be able to change and adapt to your environment,
right,
to your customer base, to regulators, regulation.
That's a huge problem.
And it's a big problem, especially in the state of New York, which you and I could probably talk for another 2 hours on, right? But the, you know, for the young businessman or even the businessman that's in place today, you know, that flexibility is a key to your entire business. You if you get stuck on this is the only way it's going to happen, the only way I can do things, I've seen more times than not, I'm sure you have too, it's kind of a recipe for disaster. You have to be open-minded. And I don't mean by open-minded to give up on your ideals or your morals or your ethics. Just open-minded to understand that, you know, the environment changes and you got to be ready to change with it or let somebody else take the lead in front of you.
Yeah. Honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness, I think, are three, you know, incredible characteristics, positive characteristics of an entrepreneur, of anybody.
Right.
You know, to be able to have the honesty and look at a situation and go, yeah, okay, there might be some demand for this. And then the openness to be able to learn from others, watching, you know, keeping open to suggestions. And then, you know, obviously the following through and the willingness to execute every day is probably your most important, but then being able to change I can't even pronounce the word right. Uber?
Uber. Success story all by itself,
right? Who would
have
thought that the taxi cab business is...
Who would replace the taxi cabs in New York City? Or anywhere in the country for that matter.
Right. And now I don't know whether that's hit Warwick yet or not, but...
Well, I think we're a little outside their mainstream, but this is our show, we can do everything we want, but I met a couple the other day that took Uber to Warwick.
Okay.
They hired a car from Uber, took them to Warwick, and spent the entire day, and that took them home.
Yeah.
And so you look at the evolution. So the limousine services, anything like that, is now being affected because of an entrepreneur who had an idea.
Right.
Had the ability to execute on the idea and never gave up.
And, you know, and also, you know, went, I think, even one step further, which is circumventing the government.
Oh.
You know, circumventing New York City with their, monopoly system on that stuff. And so I really, you know.
Well, I applaud that.
I applaud that as well.
I totally applaud them. I mean, that's what's so great about this country, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, you can take, and you know, we have a successful dairy farm that started, you know, the business started in the 1700s. And here we are today. It had to adapt. It changed. It, some of the things you talked about, we took on the world of vegetables and see if that worked, but that didn't work. But the ice cream side of it was just turned out to be an amazing success, and it still grows. But it just shows you that the ability to take a business and not put a cap on it.
Right.
Put a cap on it.
That's a very good point. And to always be looking, you know, I think all the members of our family, and we, you know, my parents are still very involved, my sister and brother-in-law and my niece and nephew, and we have some great key employees that are, you know, being able to handle the daily work. But I think all of us, in one way or another, are always somehow thinking about what can come next and what could fit in here, you know, and you know, not always right. I come up with some wacko ideas, but, you know.
I always say, listen, I've got a thousand good ideas, and every once in a while, one sticks.
So and that would be a Thomas Edison there, too. I think he was asked about the light bulb, and, you know, he said, you know, I failed 2,000 times, but I only had to be right once.
That's right. And you know, that is a true entrepreneurial attitude.
That kind of, you know, that kind of confidence, I guess, confidence also is a biggie. You know, when you are down and, you know, you've got to be able to have that faith that you did your homework in the beginning, and now you just got to stay with it until you go. And
that's a great one. Confidence, you know, confidence is key. And, you know, and you know, as you imagine, you know, everybody, just think, never mind being entrepreneurs, but being, even in each and everybody's daily life, not every day is a great day. You know, I mean, it's just a day, and make the next one better. Yeah. You know, with that, we're going to be right back. This is Jim Mazzetti with The American Dream. I'm here with Al Buckley from Belleville Farms. Be back after this moment.
Hey, Mike, I have good news and bad news. Good news is my son just got accepted to college.
Hey, congratulations, Bill. That's great news. What's the bad news?
We don't have enough money for his college education. I don't know how I'm going to tell him that we can't afford to pay all 4 years.
Listen, call the people at Miles Wealth Management. They helped me with my financial planning, and now I can afford my son's entire college tuition. To tell you the truth, for the first time in my life, I feel like I'm truly financially secure.
That's exactly what I need. Now, how do I get in touch with these guys?
You can call them at 845-651-3070, and their website is mileswealthmanagement.com. They're located right in the Village of Florida.
I'm calling them as we speak.
Miles Wealth Management, LLC is an independent SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Miles Wealth Management and its investment advisory services are offered independent of Signature Investors, Inc., and any subsidiaries or affiliates.
Hi, this is David Dirks, the host of the Dirks Outdoor Show. Call in as we discuss everything for the outdoor sportsman every Saturday at 7 a.m. right here on WTBQ Radio, worth listening to.
Hey, this is Joe Danz. Connect the dots in these challenging times with my Creativity and Technology for Business and Life show every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WTBQ, AM 1110 and FM 93.5. Radio, worth listening to. WTBQ
Weather. Well, a coastal storm will be affecting the area through the day with cloudy skies, rain, and breezy conditions, highs in the mid-50s. Windy tonight with periods of rain tapering off. It gets down into the lower 40s. Tomorrow, look for a couple more showers in the morning, then cloudy in the afternoon. It'll be breezy with a high in the mid-50s. Mostly cloudy tomorrow night near 40, and cloudy on Thursday. It'll be warmer. There's a chance of some showers moving through with a high right around 60. I'm meteorologist Tony Salimo from the WTBQ Weather Center.
WTBQ. Welcome back, folks. This is Jim Mazzetti. This is The American Dream. And again, kind of reminder, we're here every Tuesday from 10 to 11. Interviewing great guests from the Orange County that are entrepreneurs that get up every morning, take the risk to make it happen, not only for themselves, their family, and their community. They're just great people, and hopefully they're going to be a little bit inspiring for anybody out there who's sitting on the fence or hasn't made up their mind whether to take the leap of faith yet. But today, I have Al Buckby, who, quite frankly, I think had no choice in the matter. This was kind of fate to come into the family business. But you explored other avenues before.
And that's a good point to bring up, you know, as it relates to family businesses and coming in. Everybody on our family has worked someplace else.
I think that's a great point.
And, you know, and worked in different industries. My father was in insurance for a long time. My sister was in a little insurance in the beginning of her career. My mother was a teacher at one point, and even I left the farm after going. I went into a little bit of politics for 4 years. But I even had summer jobs that were not on farm, tree cutting, working in a clothing store, moving company. So you get an idea of, you know, what's out there and what you want to do by doing that. So, you know, summer jobs are a great thing for young people to start to focus on the good work ethic that you'll... That's probably what you'll gain the most from later on in your life.
And you learn some valuable lessons by working for other people.
Other people.
Right? And again, we go back to this, and not to harp on it, but you know, those lessons you work that for working for somebody else, another company, and that you're responsible, and they're counting on you to show up so they can, you know, sell their goods and services or provide their goods and services. Those are huge lessons. And you don't get those in college.
No.
You don't get those in high school.
You know, those in, you know, again... You know, most business owners, you know, they would just say, you know, I don't need the best person. I just need somebody that can actually show up every day.
Who's responsible.
Right. And the interpersonal, you know, ability to communicate to, you know, a vendor. Just that skill set of knowing how to be around people.
Right.
And that stuff. So those are important things that you don't learn in political science 101. You know, you don't
probably not.
You don't learn that in English 402, and you know all those other courses.
Let me be clear too, folks. I'm not advocating that nobody goes to college here.
And neither am I.
No,
there is.
We're just saying there's some. I think the point we're making, and I think everybody, it's very clear to people that are listening here. The point we're making is that, you know, life lessons are exactly that. They're life lessons that you get outside of the educational system that is put down that's here, and. I think they're huge. They play a huge role for entrepreneurs out there because, listen, if anything, you figure out what you don't like or how you can improve it.
You could do it that way.
Right?
You could do it by the process of elimination by, you know, and you get to see that so many other people, you know, also, you know, if you're looking for a job, try to find, you know, I always say hang out with the winners. Go to that company who... You know, is doing
right
better.
The
even if you got to take less money, because you're probably going to learn more of how they do it.
Yeah, that's a great lesson. So we tell young people all the time when we do college planning and coaching for these young guys, young people, and the one thing I get constantly back from them is, you know, I just don't know. Well, you're never going to know.
You never know
until you do.
You never do.
Right? Until you do it. Until you make take that step to make something happen, regardless if it's your own business or taking that, you know, working for your first company. You know, be responsible. Do what you're supposed to do, and then obviously take those experiences. Then take it to the next level.
Yeah. You know, within this category, I think there's also one thing, and it took me well into my professional days to really comprehend and understand and execute this principle. And it was, I used to, particularly dealing with livestock, dealing with animals, always second guess myself about when it was time, particularly had to do with putting animals down, making those kinds of difficult decisions. And today I have learned to separate that and execute by saying, you know, I have done best practices.
Okay.
And this is the best that could be done with the information that I have right now, today. I made the decision, and I move on.
Right.
And there's no more second guessing as it relates to, Jesus, should I have sold that stock back? And, oh, God, it went up 40%. You know, went up 40%. I mean, we all go through that.
Yeah.
But at the time, we have to deal with those decisions. So we have to live in the present. You know, you learn from the past. You plan for the future and you live today.
Right. You take a lesson from each and every decision you make. You know, I think you hit a very good point here. You know, one of the things when we're working with business owners and kind of going through this process, you know, not making a decision is a decision.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of a valuable point here. You know, you're contemplating or, waiting and waiting and waiting and to make the call one way or the other. I mean, that is actually a decision. And delaying the inevitable is not going to help you out one way or the other.
Yeah.
So you got to make it, you know, if you're going to do it, you just got to do it. And whether it's the right decision or wrong decision, you made the decision. And I think what Al, you're saying is, you know, now you can just kind of take that and learning
accepting.
Process. Right.
You know, it's about acceptance at
good
that
point.
Mm-hmm. And this is the way we're going, and this is the way we'll do it. And then you follow through again.
Right.
So it's, you know, those basics.
So you brought up a report. I don't want to gloss over this, but you have a very strong family business, and I mean by family, there's a lot of family members in the business.
Yep.
And I think there's a lot of businesses. I work with my father each and every day. But I mean, for those business owners that are out there, or people have that similar situation, how easy or difficult is that process, and how do you guys tackle that on a regular basis?
Well, I assume you're talking, working and working with family.
Yep.
Yeah, the working with family and also we have some employees, Bill Corwin, John Willemsey, that are almost family.
They are family
to us.
Yeah.
To us, and in some cases, in John's case, his father worked for my grandfather, so it's intergenerational working. So those are the connections. So it's all family in that sense. That, however, it was a very difficult time in the beginning. My brother-in-law did not always get along, and I have grown up to realize that most of that was probably my fault, and I can accept that today. Whereas I used to blame, and I take responsibility for that. And, looking back and going forward, once we realized that there was enough for us to do on the farm, we could all kind of go in our directions. Once our interests, I stayed with the cows, he did ice cream.
Right.
My sister did management. My father did overseeing of the whole thing.
He's the true CEO, your father.
Exactly. I mean, very similar to your situation as well. And once we realized that, We were able to execute that. Everybody was able to do what they wanted to do what they were good at.
Their passion.
And then we were also able to, which is a very good bonus to this whole thing, is everybody can kind of help out in any situation. So in other words...
Cross-trained.
Yeah. While I don't make ice cream, I can be up there to help take the garbage away, do the basic overseeing, shut the door, lock the key, and my brother-in-law could also come in in times, and he could milk cows and take care of cows as well. And all of us are kind of that way. So we have the basics for the other business, but we focus on our own.
Isn't that the mantra of any business, though, is that you have to make sure that in order to grow and succeed and continue to be successful, you have to make sure that you're not the only person that does that job or knows how to do that job.
Yeah.
And that's an important piece, regardless of what business or industry you're in. Would you agree?
It's extremely important in your life and your relationships as well. That, frankly, I've had to come to the grips that I'm not the most important person as it relates to the cows. I thought I was the only one that could make certain decisions.
Right.
I think about that, and I had somebody, kind of coaching me a few years ago, and he said, how arrogant are you to say that you're the only one that can make that decision?
Right.
And I had to think
that. Have the only answer.
Right. That I'm the only one. And think about, that's why I keep saying, I've said it a couple of times, the open-mindedness. Think about how closed-minded that is, that I assume that I'm the only one who can handle a particular situation.
Yeah.
And you're constantly, it's not like you recognize it 2 days ago and you solve it then. You're gonna continue to work on this stuff as your entire life goes on.
Are you gonna battle through
it? It's a daily process to continue to take back and realize, damn it, I'm overstepping here, and I'm not the only person who can climb in that silo.
Right.
I'm not the only one.
Or come to the reality that, holy mackerel, I am only human.
Right. And that you're a little older than I am, but I'm coming up on 42.
Yeah.
And it isn't 20 anymore.
No, it's not. There's far from the days that I thought I could go 24/7.
When I try to do that, all of a sudden I find out the next day that I lose 2 days because I'm still physically recovering from something stupid.
Well, isn't it kind of circles back to the fact, and we hear these, and we use a lot of cliches, and I got on the show here and there, but it's called working smarter, not harder.
Yeah.
And in order to, I think, grow any business or have any business be sustainable, you have to continually, thinking about working smarter, not harder. Now, in order to get to the next level and grow, you have to adapt processes. And one of the things we use in our firm a lot, it's called people, process, product. So it's about the people, whether that's a customer or the people that work for you. And then it's the process. How do we go about this? How do we do this each and every day? How do we adapt it each and every day? And then last but not least, you know, make sure you have the best product that you feel is the best product to either sell to your customer or give to your customer or whatever which way you want to take it from there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, those are key factors. And we talk about these things, but then you think about it, right? Isn't rocket science, is it?
No. You know, sometimes, you know,
I think we overcomplicate
entrepreneurs, things. You know, exactly. We almost need a manual to make life simpler.
Yeah.
You know, we're complicated people who need to,
dummy it down, right?
Always try to remember. I think, you know, again, going back to the honesty part is, as long as you can honestly look at the situation and go, yeah, okay, let's just, you know, let's try to remember how to actually write a letter as opposed to sending an email, you know. Yeah, basically,
I can't even imagine.
Mules, right? I mean, how long has that been since?
For me, I'm actually glad we stick to the internet because I love Spellcrack. But anyway,
it is important.
Yeah, it is. Thank goodness. But you're right. You know, the personal touch. I think that's kind of the key. You're kind of keen here on, is that I think a lot has been lost on not being able to shake somebody's hand and look them in the eye.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to just send a quick email without any feelings attached to it. And, you know, I can tell you, being a businessman, that's why in our office, we have a person physically answer the phone. Those little things in life,
you
know. And I think if you're running your business or you're growing, looking to grow a business, again, we say it's not rocket science, but do the simple things in life. Treat people the way you want to be treated, mm-hmm. right? And I think anything will work great. Man, actually, it grows from there without even thinking about it. So we're going to take a quick break here. I'm going to come back with Al Buckby from Belleville Farms. And remember, we're back here every Tuesday from 10 to 11. This is Jim Mazzetti with The American Dream.
If you're a small business owner, no one has to tell you that your business is one of the largest assets you possess. But have you ever taken the time to know what it's worth? Business valuation is not only critical for growing your company, but ultimately its eventual sale. At Miles Wealth Management, they can help you determine the value of your business through a simple yet comprehensive process that doesn't take months and cost thousands of dollars. For many years, Miles has provided you with insurance and financial services. Now they can help you ensure the growth and stability of your business for years to come. Call them today at 845-651-3070 for a free consultation or visit them online at mileswealthmanagement.com. They're located on North Main Street in the Village of Florida. Miles Wealth Management, LLC is an independent SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Miles Wealth Management and its investment advisory services are offered independent of Signature Investors Incorporated and any subsidiaries or affiliates.
Everybody, this is Rachel Ray. Join me today and every weekday with Rach on the Radio. I'll have tips to save you money, celebrity chit-chat, and of course, food. All from the kitchen table of our Emmy Award-winning show, Rachel Ray.
Weekdays at 12:30.
Hi, this is Professor Richard Hull, host of the Warwick Historical Society's weekly show, History Alive. Tune in every Monday at 11:05 to learn how history is your past, present, and future. WTBQ Radio, worth listening to.
Welcome back. This is Jim Mazzetti. This is The American Dream. We're here every Tuesday from 10 to 11. And for those who are just joining us now, I have Al Buckby from Belleville Farms. Been gracious enough to be my guest today. Al grew up in Warwick and continues to serve our community and his family business to this day, along with his family. We were talking about that briefly before on how important it is to have those family values and those work ethics and actually how important it is to not only get along, especially in a small family-owned business, but understanding how to work with other people, for that matter. Mm-hmm. And you employ people and have for obviously many, many, many years. What do you think some of your biggest challenges are on that front?
Well, I think my sister has gone has gone a very good direction. We do have a very good school here that is providing a very good workforce for her. So, you know, the 15, 16, 17-year-olds, 18-year-olds, and then we're actually getting some of those kids back after they're going to college too sometimes to work a little bit. So there's a good workforce there. The dairy side, we really have two main people that work with me and a little bit with my father as well. And you know, we have never really gone the illegal labor
design
way to go that unfortunately many of the dairy farms have. So you know, going out in the future, you know, labor can be, you know, quite a challenge. It's challenging in everybody because you need to go through the education, the time to invest in people, and then you do want them to stay for a little while.
Right, because it is not simple to train somebody and then retrain again.
And to do it over and over again. That was one of the challenges when we first started to really hire people was, you know, retention. You know, and that has not been an issue. I'm getting kind of lazy at that because it's not been an issue for the last few years. We've had, you know, perfect, you know, really perfect
education. The right people.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we talk about this, and you know, I think it says a lot to your leadership, quite frankly, Al. I mean, and then we talk about, you know, every good entrepreneur, a great entrepreneur, you know, you lead by example. We don't just point and fingers and say, do this, do that. And I think, you know, that's where the leadership comes from. And if you're going to be in business for yourself, you know, I think that's a vital lesson. And anybody I talk to or we coach along the way is that, you know, you can't just dictate your way through business.
Yeah. You know, I think about who you like to be around, you know, in the sense of even when you're younger, you didn't want to be around leaders of sports teams, for example. You know, they're right there with you doing the things.
Right.
You know,
inspiring
your captains. And,
right.
You know, that's kind of the thing that, you know, you need to almost, you know, to really be on top of your game, I think you need to have started at the very lowest level possible.
Yeah.
And learning the entire thing. So whether it's sweeping the floor, you know, or, you know, throwing stall manure, you know, throwing the manure out, cleaning, you know, getting in and out of the silos, milking cows, you know, all of those things, scooping ice cream again on the other side and cleaning and doing all that stuff, it gives you that basis so you can understand the entire thing. And, you know, sometimes people only see you when you're on, you know, when you're dressed up in the coat and tie at the top, but you have gone through all of that.
That's right. You've taken out the garbage, you've taken in the mail, you name it.
You know, and I think if your fellow workers or your employees see that, you know, you got a much higher up,
yeah,
you know, perception from them.
Without question. Yeah. You know, one of the things I would love to, because you have a lot of experience in this, but one of the things, you know, we struggle with, and I think a lot of businesses we deal with, is the regulatory process.
Absolutely.
I mean, any advice for any businessmen out there?
You know, this is one of the, for Warwick, for, you know, for Orange County, for New York, one of the biggest things are, you know, is this level of property taxes that everybody is now paying. It's continuing to go up. That is probably, as I see it, the biggest danger that we have for businesses going forward, this uncontrollable spending.
Yeah.
On the regulation side, you know, it takes a lot of time to make sure that you know all of the, I mean, there are support organizations who kind of try to keep in contact with it. But again, we have such, you know, a government that is always looking for something to do, and you have bureaucrats that need to make regulations, and it just continues to, you know, those kinds of things. Those are the challenges that we're, you know, this next generation is going to have to deal with. You know, we're going to have more people working in the government than we are in jobs. Maybe we already have.
I think we do actually today.
And
I think it's some of the difficulty we see. But I also think it's some, you know, on a positive note, I think that's, I think you also see some of the pushback on and the fact that there's so many new businesses being started on a regular basis now. There's actually almost 500,000 new businesses started every month.
Is that right?
Yep.
And how many of those are successful?
Well, 400 and something thousand fail every month as well.
Okay.
So equally as many, I think equally as many that start, equally as many fail. But the ones that make it are what, you know, obviously keeps this country, you know, innovative and still, you know, leading the world in business.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, you know, and just to follow up on that, I think, you know, it comes down to responsibility as well as when you're dealing with regulations. If we are a good, sound company, who is practicing correctly, doing best business possible.
Best practices. Yep, you mentioned that before.
You know, then we are setting a good example. And we're probably not going, I mean, we're still going to have the regulations, but we're probably not going to be being flagged in our industry from the DEC for water. I mean, you're probably not going to get most of those things. So, you know, probably the best way to avoid getting tagged by, you know, different groups in the government is probably do the next right thing.
Yeah.
You know, continue to do that.
And, you know, we tell, and don't be afraid to reach out, right? I mean,
very excellent point. And that took me a long time to be able to get to, you know, the pride, you know,
I don't need anybody else.
It can be a very strong characteristic, but it can be a huge weakness, you know, of this, you know, I used to do this when I was 20 and damn it, I'll still do it when I'm 45 and I'm going to do it when I'm 90, you know, as opposed to saying, you know, yeah, there's a person who can do that task better than I can. And damn it, I'm going to let him do it.
Yeah. And let him do it.
Yeah.
And that's a huge, I thank you for that point too. I mean, I think being a business owner, and it took me a long time from a couple of companies that I've obviously run, is letting go, being able to let go and trust your people to do the job that you hired them to do, which is not a simple task, especially when everything, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it's very easily, much easily said than done to say, okay, well, I'm going to hire this person to do that. And that when your life is literally on the line, when you own this business and everything you have is in it, it's very difficult to let go, but in order to grow, I think unfortunately that's the only way to do it.
Yeah,
would you agree?
I would agree, and you know it seems like, you know, my personal experience to this point, the more that I try to, you know, the more that I empower people who are working for us, the better job they do, the more that we get better,
you know,
and the more that we seem to grow. And it's a difficult. That's, you know, if you want to remember one thing as a beginning entrepreneur. That's when you say you got to have the faith, because you got to have a faith that you started something right, and you got to be able to allow it to grow like that. And that, you know, that's what gets you away from a business which you're just creating a job for yourself or for maybe your spouse. And getting into saying, you know, this is going to go to 25 employees, and 10 years we're going to be 500, and then we're going to sell the thing for.
All right, you know, oodles of dollars and live, you know, the rest of our life in the Caribbean.
Shake Shack is a good example. I mean, that's, you know, that's how that thing grew, and, you know. And
but it's different strokes for different folks, as they say. But you're right. You got to have the faith. You got to have tenacity, and all those little words that go along with, if you're going to go and take the leap of faith to run your own business. Everything and anything you can imagine is going to come into play.
You know, and that's not everybody.
No.
You know, that it's about risk management in that sense that, you know, some people just can't, you know, don't feel comfortable taking that kind of risk. And there's nothing wrong with that.
No, but they're the best people to hire.
Exactly. You know, there are different personalities. You know, I think the Briggs & Myers breaks you down into what? Four categories, a lion as it relates to leadership.
Oh, that's right.
And then your Labrador Retriever, which is your great best friend. And I've forgotten what the other two are. The beaver, I think, because they work so hard. And, you know, and there are those different personality categories. And that's what we break them down to in life.
And that's why, you know, that's what makes companies great, too.
Yeah.
Right? And making sure you can find the right person for the right job who has. And again, you know, there's people that are just phenomenal at making sure every T is crossed and every I is dotted.
Yep.
You know? And I'll tell you, typical entrepreneurs are not that person. They're great visionaries. They have great ideas.
And I don't want to bother with this.
But and then before we leave this, though, I want to make sure, you know, very good point. We don't want to not emphasize the regulatory side of this thing.
No.
You know, and I think what you were hitting on before, Al, before we leave this subject, is that listen, do it right. Do it right from the beginning. Don't be afraid to reach out to get help on it. Don't ignore it, because it is not the one thing the government has that you don't is time. They will figure it out, and they will come after you, and they will make your life a living hell. So just, you know, take the time to do it right and get the right team in place, whether it be your accountants, your advisors, you name it, right?
You know, and when you're doing your business plan, you know, that really should be, you know, if you're doing a thorough business plan, that should be in there already. I mean, you shouldn't get 5 years into your program and go, we don't comply with this water regulation.
Where did this come from?
I mean, that should not happen, you know, if you're doing that correctly.
Yeah.
So
pretty neat.
You know, nothing major, but you should be able to be flexible enough to be able to handle that.
No. Yeah, it's all part of being a grown-up, as they say, right?
responsible, good communication.
Can't go from there. Hey, listen, I want to, I'd be remiss. I mean, one of the things that I like so much about Al, and we actually got to talk out off air a little bit here, was that, you know, farming has been a huge part of your life. You actually served our community as a councilman.
County legislator.
Yep. For 4 years. And now you're kicking this next leap, next little venture of yours, and you just got done with a book.
I did. Actually, I just really wrapped it up over the weekend. So it's a earlier in the spring, I'm involved with Alcoholics Anonymous. I break my own anonymity, but I don't ever break anybody else's. But I do a lot of speaking in Connecticut, New York, and New Jersey, both to alcoholic groups and to anybody that wants to have me speak on the topic of addiction. And a few friends really wanted me to try to reach out to more people. So I began in the spring, and I thought I could wrap it all up in the summer, but writing a book is it's a little bit more complicated than I thought it was going to be. But we've concluded that, and it's a book on how to recover from alcoholism and really how to recover from addiction. And it's going to be a very quick read, 40, 50, 60 pages by the time we're about to begin the editing process. And we'll see what happens to it then, but we're looking for a release date in early January, and it's going to be released on Amazon, I think. We're about 90% sure. We're still a little bit on the copyright on who's going to control that. And,
wow.
And once I think we'll get that nailed down this week, begin the editing, and it will come out on Kindle. So that'll be its first place, and then depending on how it sells, it'll go to hard copy as well.
That's fantastic.
So that's my, that's what I also do. So I farm, I make food for hungry people to eat, and then I help people in that. And that makes, at 40 years, 42 years old, that makes my life very fulfilled.
And that's a nice piece, and probably a great way to end this too, is that, it's not all about the revenue. I think a lot of it, and I say this a lot on the show, it's the giving back.
Yeah.
Right? I think it's equally as important to anybody who's out there in business. You got to make sure that, what you're doing it for the right reasons.
Absolutely.
And when you actually get there, which I hope the heck that everybody that listening here today and any entrepreneur I've been involved with makes it, is don't forget where you came from, B, what you can give back to your community, because ultimately it's more than you giving back to the community, is more giving back to yourself, I think, right?
The more you give, the more you get.
And thank God for it. Folks, I want to thank Al Buckby. Thank you for being with me today.
Thank you, Jim. Thanks, WTBQ, for having me.
And you're more than welcome. Again, this is Jim Mazzetti with The American Dream. We're here every Tuesday from 10 to 11. Look forward to seeing you next week. Take care. God bless.